You have to get involved in order to have an impact. No one is impressed with the win-loss record of the referee. There's risk when you love, because your heart might get broken. There's risk in belonging, because you might be excluded. There's risk in commitment, because promises might not be kept. So why risk it all?
Because in order to be committed to something, you've got to be willing to become vulnerable. You've got to be willing to tear down the walls and allow people to see you for who you really are.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. There's always risk when you commit yourself to something, but there's no greater reward than when you open yourself up to the kind of community for which God has created you. Charles Tapp challenges you to take time to remove the walls that separate us and enter into each other's space as he concludes his series on building community with his message, Commitment to Community.
Today we conclude our first phase of a series of messages on the topic of community with a message that I've simply titled, Commitment to Community. And some of you, I know you were not here for part one, part two, or part three, and it's like you've just turned on the television and you're watching a series on television and you come in at the second or third installment, you're trying to figure out what has been going on. As we began this series on community, we did so with a message that I titled Sweet Fellowship. And we discussed how we as human beings have this innate, insatiable desire for fellowship. We have this desire to be loved and to experience community and to experience a sense of connectedness, a sense of laughter. And surprisingly enough, Americans in this country are leaving the very place where you would think you would find this sense of community, and that is the church. Because as we learned in part one, recent statistics tell us that only about 20% of Americans attend church at all on a regular basis. And what I mean by regular basis, they attend church once or twice a month. That's regular church attendance here in the United States. And the reason they leave and they go to other places is not to find a sense of correct theology, because that's not why they left in the first place. The reason why people in America are leaving the church in droves is because they cannot seem to find this sense of community. They can't seem to find a sense of connectedness. They can't seem to find a place where they can receive unconditional love. So you know where they're going. Many are going to clubs and bars, and some have even found this sense of community in gyms, because they cannot for the life of them, many of them, find them in many of the churches in America. And when you read what the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:24, where he admonishes us, he counsels us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. In other words, don't pull away from the church. Now's not the time to pull away from the body of Christ. It is the time to pull together, especially as the time of the end is near. And dear friends, it is even knocking at the door. I know you've heard it in every generation. This is the end of time. This is the end of time. And what the writer to the Hebrews is saying, what he said to his audience then, and what he's saying to us is, more than now than ever before, we need each other, because the world and the culture in which we live can care less about the truths and the values and the beliefs that we hold dear. And as the time of the end approaches even more, they're going to care even less about us and what we believe. So what I'm basically saying is this, that in the end, the only people we're going to be able to have in our circles to support us is ourselves. Is ourselves. We're going to need one another more than ever before. In part two, we looked at the message we titled Created for Community, and we discovered that this need, this insatiable desire to experience community, to experience a sense of connectedness and oneness, is not something that we acquired or that we picked up along the way, but we discovered we were created for community. And we discovered that when we looked in the book of Genesis, and Genesis 1, 26 to 28 tells us that we were created in the very image of God. And when you look at God, you see God in a sense of community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you and I have been created in that image, we too must be created in a sense of community. And verse 28 tells us that. For in the image of God created him male and female. So when the Bible says that it's not good for man to be alone, that he needs a woman, a helpmeet, or a helper, he's not saying that man needs this woman to take care of him or to be his slave or to be his servant. But what the Bible is saying here is that woman completes the image of God in man. Because biblical oneness, in order to be in existence, there has to be more than one. I'm going to say that again. Biblical oneness necessitates that there has to be more than one. Oneness comes about as a result of being in community. So when the Bible says God made a helpmeet, the word helpmeet in the Hebrew simply means a helper. One who has come to the rescue of the image of God in man. But two things have to exist for this oneness to come into play. The first is a sense of mutuality, meaning a sense of connectedness. And we see that both in the man and the woman, because the woman is connected to man because she came from man. But then we also must have, as we do in the image of God, a sense of equality. For as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all equal, all God, male and female, man and woman, must also, in order to be created in God's image, be created as equals. They must be created as equals. Not as a slave, not as a servant. But then we looked at our message last week, which we titled Attack on Community. Well, we discovered that once the enemy attacked Adam and Eve in the garden, he did more than attack them as individuals. What he attacked was the very gift that God gave them, and that was this community of oneness. Because it was only after the fall that man was placed over woman. Genesis 3, verse 16 tells us that. It was only after the fall that each of them, the man and the woman, became dependent on the very source from which they originated. The Bible says man came from the ground, and after the fall, he would become a slave or a servant to the ground. The woman, she came from man after sin, after the fall, must now be dependent upon the man. But not only does that attack on Adam and Eve attack the oneness and the community of oneness, it also attacked their relationship with God. But as I shared with you last week, what was lost in the garden, which was the community of oneness, the equality, the connectedness, Jesus Christ brought back and restored through the cross. Look at what Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to verse 28. Look at what he says. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, you're now connected because of what Christ has done. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, you have now done what? You have now put on Christ. And here's the clincher in verse 28. Look at what it says. Now, please don't miss this. Now, because you are in Christ, now because you are a part of the community called the church, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There is neither what? Male nor female. Now, Paul isn't saying that these distinctions have been done away with, but listen to what he's saying. He's saying now you can no longer wear these distinctions as a badge of your superiority. Just because you're a man does not make you superior to a woman or over her anymore now that you are in Christ. All the men are quiet. I don't care. You're not over the woman. Once you're part of Christ, you are equal. You serve each other. Man, it's quiet in here. I don't know why that is the case. There is no culture that has a sense of superiority over another culture. There is no group who is of a higher socioeconomic background that can feel superior anymore to someone who's of a lower socioeconomic background, if you're part of the church, if you're part of this new community, because what was lost in the garden has now been restored through the cross. You may be a Jew or a Greek, but none of you has an advantage. You may be a male or a female, but none of you has the advantage over the other because you have been baptized into Christ. And this is why, as I said on last week, this is why the church is so important. The world is looking for a community that they can be a part of, where they are accepted as equals, regardless of gender, regardless of culture, regardless of their socioeconomic background. And here's the thing, if they can't find that in the church, guess what they'll do? They'll go to the gym and they'll get it. They'll go to the club and they'll get it. And here's what we have to understand. If we ever reach the point where we understand what it means to be of a community of oneness, we will become the force that God wants the church to be instead of the farce that the world thinks we are. Because you ask many people in the world how they view the church, and they'll say, you guys are a farce. You say you love each other, but you really don't love each other. But if we're going to be the force that penetrates the culture and not one that allows the culture to penetrate us, we're going to have to accept that what was lost in the garden has now been restored through the cross of Jesus Christ. And when it comes to this community and who can serve and who can't serve and who can minister and who can't minister, the only qualification that is given in Scripture is based not on color, creed, or background, it is based on your God-given giftedness. And that's why Paul said, some of you may be a hand, others of you may be a foot, but it doesn't matter because you all need each other. So if you're a foot, act like a foot and do what a foot does. If you're a hand, act like a hand and do what a hand does. But you all can serve because you've all been gifted. Amen? God values us, and he gifted us. But here's the thing. In order for us to experience this community of oneness, this community which God calls us to be a part of, you and I must be willing to get rid of anything that acts as a barrier that prevents us from experiencing this oneness, this mutuality, this equality. Whether it's tradition, if it's standing in the way, we've got to get rid of it. If it's an ideology, If it's standing in the way, we've got to get rid of it. In other words, you and I have got to be committed to restoring community. It's not enough for what Christ did on the cross. If you and I don't accept the fact that he's called us to be community, what Christ has done is of no value if it's not lived out in the lives of his church. We have got to be committed to this thing called community. And I know what some of you are thinking. When you hear the word community, fear and trepidation swells up in your heart, doesn't it? Because in order to be committed to something, you've got to be willing to become vulnerable. You've got to be willing to tear down the walls and allow people to see you for who you really are.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Commitment to Community. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
2,000 years ago, a stone rolled away and the grave was empty.
And because Jesus rose, new life is still possible today.
For the moments when life feels heavy.
For the days when hope feels far away.
This Holy Week, walk through the Easter story with Pastor Charles Tapp from Simple Truths for Life.
From Palm Sunday to Resurrection Morning.
Text Easter to 800-700-1094 or visit WGTS919.com.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and there's always risk when you commit yourself to something, but there's no greater reward than when you commit to being a part of the community God has created you for. Charles Tapp concludes his message, Commitment to Community.
I read an article this past week that was titled, Seven Reasons Why People Are Afraid of Commitment. And do you know what the number one reason was? People are afraid of being vulnerable. They are afraid of allowing people to see them for who they really are. And that's why the family is the first community. Because in the family, they know what you're really like, don't they? We can come to church smiling, and your children know 5 minutes ago you were throwing stuff. My mother, man, she could throw a mean skillet. I'm not talking about those fancy skillets. I'm talking about those cast iron skillets, Craig. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. She threw one at my father one day. I had to go, I wouldn't be here today. It missed him too, thank God. If we're going to experience this sense of oneness and community, where we can become vulnerable, it has to be in a smaller context. It has to be in a smaller group. And that's why building community in a church like this is a daunting task, because it's harder to build a sense of community in a large church. That's why some people, Pastor Jerry, go to a large church, because they don't want to experience community. They want to hide out. I'm not looking any particular place in the congregation. They don't want to go to a church that's small, because when you're in a smaller group, people can get close to you. And some of us don't like people. But if we're going to become a community, we've got to become smaller. We've got to get close to one another. So what the Word of God is saying to us today, if we're committed to community, to experience a sense of closeness and togetherness, we've got to be willing to small ourselves up. Well, Pastor, are you saying that the bigger churches need to disband and become larger churches? Yes and no. I'm not saying let's just make every church a small church. What I am saying is that within the largeness of our congregations, we must create a structure that allows us to become small. And that's what small group ministry is all about. That's what some of our ministries are about, making the church smaller so that we can experience a sense of togetherness and closeness. Listen, If the only time you experience the fellowship of church is during the worship hour, you have missed one of the greatest experiences of being part of the body of Christ. Because it goes deeper than just experiencing this corporate worship service. It's when you become part of a small group where you can learn one another's names and one another's experiences, where you can be lifted up and you can help lift other people. That's when church becomes church. That's when community really becomes community. That's where you can be vulnerable and you can open up and you can share and have others share with you. Listen, it's not about getting rid of the big churches. It's about smalling ourselves up. Look at what the great theologian Gilbert Bilezikian has to say as it relates to this whole small group concept. Look at what he says here. He says, it is in small groups that people can get close enough to know each other, to care and share, to challenge and support, to confide and confess, to forgive and to be what? Forgiven, to laugh, to weep together, to cry on one another's shoulder. To be accountable to each other. My brother, I see that you're going in the wrong direction. To watch over each other and to grow together. Please don't miss this last statement, for it is profound. He says, personal growth does not happen where? In isolation. It is the result of interactive relationships. Small groups are God's gift to foster changes in character and spiritual growth. In other words, he's saying that if you want to grow spiritually, if you want to experience this thing that we call sanctification, which is simply growing spiritually or maturing spiritually, he says you've got to place yourself in an environment where you can experience closeness and togetherness, where you can be vulnerable one with the other. And why is that important? Look at what Paul says in Galatians, again, chapter 5, this time. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, talking about fruit, the byproduct of having the Spirit working in your life. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's kindness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, it's self-control. Against such there is no what? Law, which means it's unlimited. It just goes on and on. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us do what? Walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. I hope you got what Paul is saying. Paul is simply saying here that if you want to have the fruit of love, love is not developed in isolation. You don't develop the fruit of patience in isolation, do your parents? You don't develop the fruit of long suffering in isolation. In other words, if you want to experience real spiritual growth and development, you've got to be in the context of community. That's why we cannot be spiritual hermits. That's an oxymoron. We don't grow when we separate ourselves. We grow when we place ourselves in the midst of community and be willing to become vulnerable. That's what it means to experience this sense of fellowship. It's about smalling ourselves. If we're going to become more than a worship service, listen to me. We've got to be willing to become a part of community. We've got to be willing to pull down the walls that separate us so that I can enter into your space and you can enter into my space. That's what builds community. That's what makes us one. We'll never build real community just coming here at 8:45 and 11:15. But when we form groups, some meet here in the church, some don't meet, some will meet in homes. Let me just say this. Things, in my humble opinion, are going to become so bad in this country that the church is going to have to start meeting in homes, not because it wants to, but because it's going to have to. But while we are able to experience community here, let's step into one another's space. People are missing a sense of fellowship. And if they cannot find it here, where are they going to find it? And if they cannot find it here, the church, the apple of God's eye, is a farce and not a force. If you are willing to become part of a small group, which means stepping out of your space into someone else's space, then put your name on that card and say, I'm willing to be part of a small group, whether it exists already or one that is going to be formed later. I am willing. Just put your name and your contact information there, and we will reach out to you. Because the world is looking for the church to be community. That's where we grow. We're so busy trying to grow numerically that we've missed the boat of growing as disciples. And that does not happen in isolation. It happens in community. And we are connected in Christ, and because we're connected in Christ, we're all equal and we're all part of this great community called the church. Who says amen today? I invite you to bow your head with me this morning as we pray. Father God, we thank you today for the message that has been shared today, that as a church, we need to small ourselves up so that we can fit into this body called the community of oneness, so that we can truly experience this thing called intimacy, where we can let our guards down, where we can build one another up and comfort one another and stir one another up in love, where it does not happen in isolation. So I pray today, dear Father, that this word has resonated with someone and they want to be part of community here at Sligo, even if they're not part of the church as a member, but they still want to be part of the community. Even if they're worshiping online or listening to the radio, may they be part of this community simply by letting us know and saying, I want to be a part. And if there's someone here today who wants to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, we've got to build the community of Christ, and God, we cannot build it in isolation. So help us, O Father, through the power of your Spirit, to be part of this vibrant community called the church. May the words that have been shared here today be like seeds planted in our hearts. May they take root, and may they ultimately bear the fruit of righteousness is our prayer. And all of God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Commitment to Community. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
Whatever is the most important thing, give that thing your undivided attention.
So much is competing for our attention, from work to home, even church. Next week, you won't want to miss the first of two messages from Pastor Tapp to help you discover the one thing that can transform the rest of your life. And it only requires a simple word with his message, the one thing.